Xerxes.
All right.
Praise, honor, and glory.
going to pray together. Before that, I have two brief announcements. One, that this afternoon, the young people, do not forget, they're going to Pacific Hill. And the training of our young people, and then the program of our young people, one of the activities is to be at 2:30 in Pacific Hill. If you have no right, you just come here at 2:15, and we made possible to bring your children there. We want them to share their life with those who are in this particular place so that the gospel of the Lord Jesus be shared. And I want your young people to share that gospel as they talk to the people and as they show them where the hymns are and so on. And that's a good training. And it's an open place with permission, which is very unusual today, that we can do it everywhere. And some of you can go even to the rooms and share with somebody the gospel. I tell you, this Pacific Hill is one of the great battlefields that God has prepared for us and gave us 4 years ago. And I think our church now extended the ministry to the young people. Also, I want you to notice that there are signs everywhere. We have a wonderful fellow who worked with his computer and made signs as the pastor made points to him. And those signs are not for enhancement of the place, but for obedience. And I had the first person I had to obey those signs. I accidentally or without disregard, I have come here in the chapel with a coffee and so on. And I apologize to you. And we should not do that so that we keep the place clean. And when we say this is what we're going to do, we should obey it. And especially when the sign maker is from the Marine Corps. All right? Let's pray together. Father, we praise you, O Lord, with the words of King David, who said, "Be exalted, Lord, in thy own strength." So we will sing and praise thy power. Yes, Lord, you have power to save, power to help us to accomplish thy will. Thus, once again, we exalt you. And thank you for giving us the opportunity to be your living letters 2,000 years after Christ. We praise you because you provide for us missionaries across the world. Fred and Carol Lewis in Ukraine, teaching the nationals and preparing them. Carol and Ruth Knott in Huasca, Spain, again teaching elders how to organize and work in churches and the literature in Spanish. Eusebio and Marixa Perez in Malaga, Spain, sharing the gospel in English and in Spanish in the Benalmadena area, so much in need. Ruben and Irene Zachert in Lodi, California, now with a church over 150 people. Thank you, Lord, for the ministry of these couple. And then, Lord, locally, the South Valley Pregnancy Center, Care Center in Morgan Hill, California, a place of refuge for those in need. Lord, we praise thee for the freedom of preaching the word. Protect our country. Look upon the shoulders of our president and give him a heart of conviction and truth, so that we may continue to live at peace and thus be used for the furtherance of the gospel here in America and abroad. We praise you for helping our church family, Lord. Ruth is back from her difficult trip. Lord, as we pray before, we keep on praying. Comfort her through thy word according to the promise that we have in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In verse 18, our brother Forrest is getting stable. Be with him, comfort him, give him a heart of peace and a mind center in thee at this critical moment of his life. Lord, bless our friends on our tape ministry. Heal their wounds and free them from the evil and his angels. Give them a strong heart and a willing mind to obey you. Bless those listening through the radio. Let them rejoice with us because we have a common Savior and a blessed hope. Let them know that we care for them and that we love them through Christ Jesus our Lord. And now, O God, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make all of us perfect in every good work to do his will, working in us that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Friends, this is Pastor Otero speaking to you at the moment of the offertory in our wonderful Bethel Baptist Church. We want you to know that we love you. We want you to know that we care for you. Here's our phone number in case you need us. It's 778-2595 or 779-2300. The area code is always 408. Now, in case you have an emergency, we give you an emergency number, and that will be 390-0998. Believe me, our specialty is care. And doesn't matter where you live in this great expansion geography of the radio, we will make a trip and sit with you and comfort you or guide you through the Word of God. This is our ministry, to bring peace, love, and comfort to those in need. So let the Lord lead you, and let us be used of God to help you. Meanwhile, let's join the service and rejoice with the people here at Bethel.
Thank you, choir. We ask you now that you take your Bibles and turn to the book of Jonah, chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible, there's a Bible provided for you in the pew, and you'll find today's reading in that Bible on page 678. We ask that you would please stand for the reading of God's Word. Jonah, chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittadi, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against, for there is wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear Jehovah, the God of heaven, which have made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men extremely afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of Jehovah, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrathed and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrathed and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto Jehovah, and said, We beseech thee, O Jehovah, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Jehovah, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah, and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared Jehovah exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto Jehovah, and made vows. Now Jehovah had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Almighty Father, blessed is thy holy name. We praise and worship thee, Almighty God, because thou hast shed thy mercy and grace upon our souls through the sacrifice of thy Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, cause us not to be like Jonah. Help us to follow thee, O Lord God, and to be obedient unto thy will and thy way in our lives. And help us, O Father, not to turn from thee, but to seek thee in all that we do to glorify thy holy name on this earth. We pray, O Lord God, for thy servant, our pastor Gabriel Otero, as he seeks to proclaim the gospel unto thy people, that you'll be merciful again today and call more of thy children into thy kingdom by thy word. This we ask in his name. Amen.
You may be seated, please. Keep your Bible open in Jonah, as our brother have read. And the text for our meditation this morning is based upon Jonah chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 2. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you allow us to open your word, the oracles of God. Let the Holy Spirit, who is the author, the interpreter, and the teacher of the scripture, give us a practical lesson for our life. Help us to go out of this place or to turn off the radio, knowing the same way we started. And when all is done, we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory in Jesus our Lord. Amen. Jonah is a man that made a difference in the generation he lived in. Jonah is a man that made a difference in the generation he lived in. Look with me in verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai. And what he did with that word of the Lord is remarkable. Look in chapter 3, please. Let me start reading from verse 3. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now, Nineveh was an exceeding and great city of a 3 days' journey. That means, the Bible, that if you want to cross Nineveh, the width of Nineveh was a 3 day without stop walking. That was the distance of the width of Nineveh. Now, verse 4. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried. The word cry can be used as he spoke aloud. And listen what he says. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the last of them. That's a very biblical way to respect God according to the book of Leviticus. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. Now that's a miracle. The governments will respect the word of God. Even in our blessed country today, the institutions that we love so much, the executive power, the legislative power, and the justice power, they don't respect God at all. They ignore God. And here is a foreign king, a king who have nothing to do with the gospel. He got saved. See, when a president or a king got saved, then the first thing you do, you take your robe out and say, let God be king. That's a sign. Tremendous. Now remember, it's one tiny little guy from the Jewish country, preaching in a foreign country, enemy of the Jewish people. And look at verse 7. And he caused it to proclaim and publish through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God, or ask for mercy to God. Yeah, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? Boy, these people are convicted. Reminds me of Luke 18. The man is saying, God, have mercy on me. I know what you're going to do. I know one day you're going to consume the world. I know that one day you're going to finish with us. Please have mercy on me. Now that's the king. And he said, let everybody do that. Look at verse 10. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he has said that he will do unto them. And he did not. So Jonah have made a difference in the generation in which he lived. He went and preached the gospel, and people got saved. Actually, the whole country got saved. You and I are called to make a difference in our generation also. Jonah is not an exception. How can we be used of God in the salvation of our city, the next city, and the other state, and finally in the whole country and into the world? Think for a moment. How can I be Jonah? Should be the challenge of our life. Well, the great difference between Jonah and the preaching of the gospel today is right there in verse 1. The Bible says that Jonah received the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. He was a prophet. You want to see it. He was already used of God before. And now he's used again. But God used any one of us when you and I receive the word of God and believe it. God can use a woman. God can use a man. God can use a child when you believe the word of God. Any place in the world, any place in society, doesn't matter where you live, you can make a difference if you do not teach people any other thing than the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. that will make an impact in society. Didn't America produce a country so beautiful? Imagine in the times of Jonah. Now, when God called Jonah, there are a few things we can learn from these verse 1 and 2. Actually, a lot of things from verse 1 and 2. And so, how does God call somebody? When we went to seminary with another guys in the city of Friedman and so on, people asked the question, how do you know God called you? That's a very typical question. How do you know God's called you? What involves in God's call? Three things. God's call to Jonah was personal. Number one. God's call to Jonah was plain, not complicated. Very simple. Easy to be understood even by a child. And God's call to Jonah was pivotal. P as Peter, I, V as Victor, O, T as Tom, A, L. Makes a whole center. His life changed so radically that he no longer has hobbies, he no longer has entertainment, he no longer has time for himself. He only moves under the will of the mighty God. So I want to challenge you today. I want to talk to Christians today. You're a believer in Christ. I hope this sermon will help you to understand your call in the gospel. Let's look on it in detail. God's call to Jonah was personal. Look at verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai. Three things are right there. Number one, God knew who he was. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. The word of the Lord, you know, came, all those who want to come in, he came right to the heart of Jonah. Moved right to the brains and wheels of Jonah. And God said the word of the Lord was not a random, was rather circumscribed to one person. And that person was Jonah. He came right away to Jonah and put a finger on Jonah. You, Jonah, you are called. Right away, personal, by name. Like when God called Lazarus, remember? God didn't say, well, those who are in the tomb, if you like, come forward. No, he said, Lazarus, come forward. That's the call of God. He calls you by name and he said, come in. For service is this call. Now, God knew where Jonah was. Look at what the Bible said, the son of Amittai. Now, if you look in the Bible in 2 Kings, in chapter 14, and in verse 25, you find where Amittai lived and what Jonah was. Talking about Jeroboam, second king there in Jerusalem, the Bible said in 2 Kings 14 and verse 25, He was a bad king, but at least he restored the coast of Israel from the entering of Hamath unto the sea of the plain, according to the word of the Lord, God of Israel, which he spake by the hand of his servant Jonah. So Jonah was an active prophet already. The son of Amittai, that's the same man of the book of Jonah. The prophet, which was of Gath Hefer, that word where Jonah really lead, God Hefer. Now, God Hefer is called Mehehel today. And it's very close to Nazareth. About 5 miles north of Nazareth is what Mehehel really is. And it's called the city of the great God. And his father Amittai means the truth is God. And so we can see the background here that this fellow comes from a remarkable family, but God has to go to that city of Nazareth, just a picture like Jesus, no? To the city of Nazareth, above Nazareth, 3-4 miles is Mehel, and here God see where the man was, and he went to his city, and he called him. See, to be called of God, you don't have to be in any special place, under certain environment, and under certain thing. The conviction of God comes right where you are. Maybe when you are sleeping, you wake up and you get convicted. Lord, what I'm doing with my life. Now, God knew what he should do. Look in verse 2, Jonah chapter 1, verse 2. God said, Jonah, get up, go to Nineveh, that's north, the great city. The word great city doesn't mean large, it means powerful city, a war city. A city that if you don't agree with them, they overcome you. Go to that city, he said, and cry against it. So you go to that city and you preach the gospel. And you tell them, where are they going to end in life? Actually, you tell them, I'm going to destroy them. Can you imagine that? Going to the very arch enemy of Israel, without weapons, without an army, without any other resources than the word of the Lord, and going into the city and say, guys, you're going to die. You think that Jonah, no wonder he doubted a little, no wonder. You think that preaching the gospel is difficult. Imagine how difficult it is to the archenemy of a nation. And you go and you said, there is no hope for you except on the Lord. The Lord said, such a day, such an hour, you are gone. Goodbye. And he goes and walked those 3 days in the city. Tell him that. The call of Jonah was personal. He heard the word of the Lord. Now, how do these relate to you and me today, 2,000 years after Christ? Does these things change? Certainly a little, but the method is the same. Show you in John chapter 1. Look at the application. John Gospel chapter 1. Look how Jesus called his disciples. That's in the first century. Look in John 1 and verse 40. I start reading from verse 40. Look how Jesus called his people to serve him. One of the two which heard John speak, and tonight I'm going to speak on that, that any great king need a secretary of state ahead to speak. Last Sunday we spoke about the great adoration of worship. Now, this Sunday night, we're going to speak about the great Secretary of State Jesus had, because he was a king. And look at what happened, verse 40. One of the two which heard John speak and follow him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first finded his own brother Simon and said unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted Christ. Christ is the Greek word for the Hebrew word Messiah. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, son of Jonah, thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip, and said unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter, and Philip found Nathanael and said, come on, we found, you see the big snowball is coming? They hear the word of the Lord, and then they invite others. They hear the word of the Lord and they invite others. They hear the word of the Lord and they invite others. See, this church can multiply double at the end of this year if you just invite one. You hear the word of the Lord, and the word of the Lord has to make a difference in your life. You cannot be the same person day after day. You got to get excited. You're excited about the word of the Lord. And you carry in your pocket tracts we call it, means little papers who say something about the Lord Jesus. And when you put gasoline and if it's in attendance there, you just share that and say, may the Lord bless you. And you give a dollar inside that and the guy will take it. If I want in a restaurant somebody to read it, I just put $10 tip and give these in and they're going to read it. The gospel. The gospel. I was in the Hilton fancy hotels of Auckland Airport with a pastor. You know Pastor Van Dyke, and he preached here. And we were talking about planning the meetings that he will come here. And Pastor Van Dyke is a great evangelist. He grabbed these Iranian waitress, well-dressed, grabbed by the hand and said, may I introduce to you a great preacher, Pastor O'Darrell. And what is your need, son, that we pray for you? And the guy was shocked with the whole thing in the hands. I thought it was a fall. And a great patio and a beautiful area. And he said, let us pray, he said to everybody. And I said, Lord, eat me, you know. And he prayed. He prayed that this man who serves us and who cares for us, this man who is doing this, he may find the Lord. My heart almost pumped out of my heart. You know why? Because I never done this. See, I tell you, we got so set up in America that we forgot that we are called. We are called to share the gospel. We are called to share the gospel. See, look in Acts chapter 9 when Paul was saved. See, this is important. This is very important. When Paul was saved in Acts chapter 9, and look with me in verse 4 and in verse 5. You know, there are three times the story of Paul. Acts 9, Acts 22, Acts 26. And each time is a little different. The Greek words are a little different. But look at here, Acts 9, 4. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He hear a phoné. Phoné, the word voice for phoné, means just a language, a perfect language, like in 1 Corinthians 14, a phoné, a perfect language, not a tongue, but a perfect language. And the language was saying to him in his own Hebrew, so I heard that he is a priest. And he trembled, and on he said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? Lord, what do you want me to do? And if you read the book of Acts, you know that the Lord said, you're going to be my witness to the Gentiles. Wait a minute, God. The best instructed Hebrew scholar ever born was there. And you're going to use him to the Gentiles? And then you're going to use a fisherman like Peter, who doesn't know how to write Hebrew? You're going to use him to witness to your people? This is God. This is God. He doesn't use us according to our skills. He uses according to his will. And I want to say to all of you, you have not been in seminary, but you have the best teacher ever exists, the Holy Spirit. And he can teach you over and over things more greater than me. Learn in the seminary. He wants you to use it. He wants you to use it. He doesn't want you to come day in and day out, sitting there. It's good to come to church and be fed the word of God. But now when you leave, I'm going to use this. I'm going to use it in my family. I'm going to use it in my neighborhood. And as soon as you use this, two things will happen. Some people hate you. Other people, you people, very few people love you. You have shared the gospel. The call to John was personal. Secondly, the call to John. Notice instruction in Jonah 1, verse 2. This is very plain. He said, rise. It's an old English word for the word get up. Get up. Change your position. You cannot be on the same place you are now. Get up. Change your position. See, and look at what he says. Go to Nineveh. Change your location. Change your position. Change your location. And what he has to do? Cry out. What is that? Change your attitude. Do you see it? Change your position. Get up. Change your location. Go to this place. And then change your attitude. Do not apologize to anybody. Do not be withdraw from anything you have to say. You just cry out, my word, said the Lord. Wow, what instruction for a preacher. You don't need a book of homiletics. It's one verse. When I saw that in seminary, many times I told my professor of homiletics, can you imagine a three-step for preaching? Change your position, change your location, change your attitude. And you are on. You're gone if you really have the Lord in your heart. Jonah received a plain call. See, folks, if you are a believer, you cannot live in the same way you lived before. You know why? Because you don't want to. You don't want to live in the same way you did before. You don't want to do the things you did before. You don't want to be associated with the things you were associated before. Actually, if you share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with your friends, unbeliever friends, they will leave you. You don't have to do anything. They will leave you. I remember when I was an engineer, banquets with a company. And adding water. They have fire for the spirit, they call. And I don't know what spirit was. How innocent I was. I thought they wanted to sing or something. So I went early half hour. Oh, wonderful. We're going to get the spirit. And you see, when you're a believer, you think on the Lord. And the spirit was going to get drunk. I end up taking everybody home because I cannot drive. And they ask me, why? Why you drink water rather than wine? Because it had nothing to do with religion, it had to do with the covenant I made with my wife when I was in. But it's not for a Christian, for a son of a king, to drink wine anyway. And you know, and they don't invite me anymore to the parties, and I save those holy days for my wife. I don't have to leave them, they leave me. And I tell you, in your life, if you make a clear declaration of the gospel with your life, as a businessman, if you are an honest man in your business, some of the competitors will think you're stupid. Let them think in that way. If you're a salesman, where you are, if you're an honest, clear man, God's going to bless you. And God's going to protect you like he did to Jonah. Even overrule our mistakes, because we are human. Jonah's call was plain. Change your position, change your location, and change your attitude. Say something about the Lord and say this way, I wish you'd be saved, because if you die without being saved, you're going to hell. Can you imagine saying to somebody sitting with you in the plane, always use it. If I want a free seat beside me, I said, if this plane take off and the winds fall apart, we die. Where do you go? And they look to me and they go to another seat. Only one young man in my flying experience happened a month ago. Only one young fellow from this city, I hope one day will come in from Palo Alto, from the university, Catholic University in Palo Alto. He said, I never heard that. He said, where do you base your theory? And so we opened the Bible, and all the way to Chicago, we share the scripture. And I lost him when I went out. And he looked for me because I was looking for another plane to go to New Jersey. He said, sir, thank you very much. And he had me, 19 years old boy. See, don't be afraid to share that. It is a plain call. You cannot be the same. You cannot put the things of this world in place of God, for example. It is a plain call. You cannot have excuses. No, I had to do this and I had to do this and do this. God called you. God the King called you. Nothing should interfere that call. I never forgot what our brother Murphy shared with us when he was sick at home, that the neighbors, he left the car and he was here, and the neighbors went to seek for his home because they knew that the Murphys are in church on Sunday.
You think people don't know you? Yes, they know you. They know you.
Oh, let us honor God with our call. You got a call, friend. You got a call. You're a son of a king. You're a man to voice the voice of the king. Let's honor him.
Then look how critical was that call, pivotal, P-I-V-O-T-A-L, was a call for repentance. Look at in chapter 3, verse 4. It was a call for repentance. Chapter 3, verse 4. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown.
Was a call for repentance. Was a straightforward call. Was a call who said, I don't want to mingle with details here and there and there, but I want to tell you the most urgent thing of the gospel. If we die in our sins, we're going to hell, and God has provided a savior. His name is Jesus our Lord. Now that's the call of the gospel. Clear as can be. Cannot be so difficult. Not something, you know, we want to be polite and we go around and around and around and around. The call of the gospel has to be stated with politeness, but truthful. How do you say you're going to hell? Yeah, you say it. You're going to hell if you die in your sins. And I don't want you to go to hell. I want you, because of the love of God in my heart, I want you to see God as He is, a loving God who has mercy. But if God is very narrow, that mercy is only on Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter if you're a Catholic or a Baptist or Pentecostal, whatever you are, doesn't matter who you are. You're a human being. If you have no Jesus Christ in your heart, your destination at death is hell. And finally, the lake of fire. I don't want you to go over there. I want to offer to you the remedy, Jesus Christ. Wow. Can you imagine our young people sharing that in the school? They have no more friends, but one will come in and listen. A call for repentance. Was a call for revival also. Look in verse 5, chapter 3, verse 5. So the people of Nineveh, what a surprise statement, a call for revival. The people of Nineveh believe God. I'll tell you something, but what I read in Jonah 4, I think Jonah went and his heart said, I preach to these people, but nobody's going to believe. Because in Jonah, in chapter 4, he was so sad that everybody believed. I never saw a preacher sad because the whole church became saved. But Jonah was like that. Jonah was a sad preacher. He said, oh, Lord, you told me to say the word. I say the word, and they got saved. He was mad. What's a call for revival? Can you imagine? You share these to a friend, you share these with somebody, and they believe. What a joy. You can't believe the joy of your heart. When somebody that you share the gospel believe. Now we have the person who's not here now is in I think it's Washington, the other side of the Columbia River. Adolfo, their brother Mark brought in. I think if Mark can tell you this story, he invited him to church, he saw him a little down and so on. And Adolfo became a believer. His wife became a believer. And they have a rough time in their life. I mean, a rough time. And this pastor has spent hours and hours and hours and hours in counseling. And I have to say to you, I give up in my mind. I just counsel, but I give up in my mind any hope. And then one day I got a call from Washington and said, Pastor, we remember your words. We are here. We're together. We love each other because you told us Christ. And I said, Lord, forgive me for giving up on somebody. See, we share the word of God, and we have no control of the impact, because I thank God He's in control. I thank God He's the one who works in the hearts of people. And even though you don't see any progress, keep on with that word. Keep on, because there's going to be revival. It's His word, and it's our God. Thank God for that. So Mark has a treasure in his heart. Pass the word to Adolfo. Adolfo passed the word to Mama. And now they are caring for the grandchildren. And you wait until one of these grandchildren get the Lord. You say, how beautiful it is. Makes a difference. Was a call for repentance. Was a call for revival. And there was a call for restoration. Chapter 3, verse 6 to 9. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and by his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let us not eat, he said. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily. That was a process in the book of Leviticus of saying, God have mercy of me. This is what the king is doing. He must heard something of the word of God that he's seeing. Jonah is not sharing any one of the instructions of the Old Testament, but he must have those instructions. And later on, some documents of the Bible were found in that city. So therefore, he must have some documents where he saw that this is the attitude before God. See, we don't come to God with pride. We don't come to God with demands. We come with humility. With humility. And we say, God, look for my friends. Look to these. And Lord, if you will, have mercy on these people. Do you see that? Lord, if you will, he said, have mercy on these people. And then the king, who is an unbeliever, said, Lord, if you will, have mercy on these people. And God is willing. Because verse 10 says that God saw their work, God saw their heart, and he is willing to save. We have a God who is willing to save. And here we are sleeping in a town of 37,000 people. We should have more people knowing that the Lord is God and is willing to save. Jonah make a difference in his town. Jonah had the opportunity to make a difference in the lives of the people of Nineveh by responding to the call of God. Every one of us has an opportunity to make the difference in the life of those around us, my friend. Now, how will you respond to God's call in your life? How you do it? You can say, how can I use my life for the expansion of the gospel? You can think, how can I use my home for the expansion of the gospel? Having a Bible class with my neighbors, just reading the scripture. Please pray and listen as I close to the scriptures that you know by memory in Joshua 24, verse 15. Joshua said, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye shall serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. And he says, but for me and my house, and my children, my wife, my grandchildren, my uncles, we will do one thing, he said. We will serve the Lord. People, he's not saying we will believe the Lord. He's saying we will serve the Lord. There's a big difference between believe and serve. You already believe. It's a time for service. Think for a moment. What an unbeliever will think of Bethel Baptist Church and comes in the evening service and only 25 of their people are there with their pastor. Think for a moment. I will go home and say, these people don't have anything to say because their own people, they don't care to listen for a moment. Think for a moment on a Wednesday night. We have about 15 guys here with a few ladies, 6 or 7. An unbeliever comes on and said, prayer is the most powerful thing in life. And then the people will say, I don't think so, Pastor, because your people, they care less about what you said. See, that's the rebound the rebound message that these pastors get when you do not respond to the gospel. So my question is, have you heard the call? If you heard the call, there is nothing more important any longer in your life, your business, your career, nothing is more important than to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You got a day off? Think, how can I share the gospel in this day off? What can I do? Pastor, what can I do? I have a day off. You want to go visiting with me or do something, Pastor? Let's do it together. Let's get excited, folks. Let's get excited. Until he comes, we have a city to conquer. I'm your general. But without the army, I do nothing. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for the call of Jonah is our call. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Bless us that we may have a revival here at Bethel. That the people of Bethel may say, we're going to use our life for the Lord, period. And then we will see that we are in serious business with the Lord. Oh God, use every one of us, men and women, young people, use us for the furtherance of the gospel. And when all is done, you will receive the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
My head.
stand, please, as we close in prayer. I want to remind you, right after this prayer, we greet each other and we have the quarterly business meeting of our church. This is the meeting where decisions are made and the future of our church is shaped. And I hope you have the time, maybe no more than half hour, to be here with us. Father, we thank you for the power of your word. And I thank you for the power of your call, who is without repentance. Help us not to sleep in the jungle of America and to make a difference. Because we pray and thank you in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen.